Welcome to episode 3 of Community College and Pre-Service Learning, a podcast series exploring whether graduate level programs in education incorporate lessons on the community college in preparing students for their careers. I'm your host, Sierra Boyes, and today we are looking at whether community college has been a focus in college and career readiness programming in high schools. Using Maya's internship experience, we explore the ways community college is represented in their College Go Week. First, Maya, can you tell us a little bit about what College Go Week is?
Yeah, so I know previously I talked about College Go Week, like, a little bit. I got ahead of myself, but I was trying not to explain it too much. But essentially, through the American School Counseling Association, we have our annual College Go Week, and that is in September. And within this week, we kind of have different avenues of advocating for, like, college and career readiness. As it sounds, college is kind of the more geared approach since it's College Go Week. But on the, like, ASCA website, which is the American School Counseling Association, they have, like, templates, ideas of what to do with students during College Go Week and whatnot. And during my internship, I actually created and came up with everything for our College Go Week at my internship site.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about those things that you had created?
Yeah. So, as I said, like, there's a lot of creative freedom when it comes to College Go Week. So, I really wanted to do things that were, you know, more interactive and more educational. Because unfortunately, with the school I'm an intern at, it's a rural school, so a lot of times they don't have access to, like, resources and stuff like that, that maybe, like, urban schools do. So that was my main focus of College Go Week there. So each day of the week, we focused on something different. So on Monday, we did something fun. So we had College Gear Day. So students were, you know, encouraged to wear, like, clothing from the school that they want to go to or the school that they're going to be going to. And additionally, for students that might not go to college, they could dress up with what they want to do as a career option as well. And then on Tuesday, we had College Application Day, and this was a day specifically geared towards us encouraging students to, you know, apply for colleges, look at the application process, and then, of course, ask questions in regards to applying for those. We, almost throughout the whole week, a lot of the activities and stuff we had, they were doing them in their study halls, which is their fifth period. So, huge shout out to our study hall teachers for helping us do this. But continuing on Wednesday, we had Financial Aid Information Day. And as it sounds, that was the day that we kind of gave our students some more resources. So one of the biggest concerns with, you know, going to college for anybody, not just rural students, is how in the heck are you going to pay for college? Like, it is so expensive, especially if you're doing out-of-state school like I did. And so I wanted to compile a universal place for students to have resources. So I took the time and the energy to create a presentation slideshow that was, you know, of course, very aesthetically pleasing. We have to keep the students engaged and interested in the, you know, information. But I made a PowerPoint that explained, you know, what is a scholarship, what's a grant, the different types of loan options that are out there, and most importantly, like, do I have to pay interest rates on these loans? When do the interest rates start? Like, all of this stuff. Like, what is available to them? And I also linked to the websites where I got this information from so they can, you know, find the FAFSA, how to fill out the FAFSA. When we went into the classrooms talking to students about the FAFSA, a lot of them thought, like, that was them taking out a loan. Like, filling out the form was them, like, filling out a loan form. And I was so confused because I was like, no, like, it's not. It's just how they can figure out how much aid you can get. And they didn't know that. They thought we were, like, forcing them to take out a loan.
I wonder what or where that idea came from.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the notion that, oh, you go to college, it's so expensive, mm-hmm. student loans. So maybe that's why they thought that, but that's interesting.
It is interesting. And it's new this year where all students, even if they do not plan on going to college at all, they have to fill out the FAFSA. So,
is that something that your school specifically does, or that College Go Week requires, or is it a statewide thing?
I believe all schools are required. I know it's new this year, so I don't know too much information about it, but I asked my supervisor, I was like, oh, like, you know, I was also under the notion you only fill out the FAFSA if you're going to college, but now it's part of a requirement for all students to fill out the FAFSA, and I think it's to, in a way, encourage students to go to college because they're able to see how much financial aid they can get.
Which makes sense, but I feel like that also puts a lot more work on the FAFSA end of things.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder it took so long to get our financial aid packages when everyone in high school, like seniors, mm-hmm. are filling that out. But that's its own thing.
Yeah, it is interesting. I see why it can be beneficial, but I also, like, I know, like, you've probably seen the TikTok videos of, like, you know, it's, you know, FAFSA night when your parents are yelling at you or you're having phone calls from different states going, Mom, what's your information? How much money do you make? Like,
right.
It's a stressful process. But it is also important for them to know that because, you know, if you do go to college, you have to do it every year. But anyways, that's a whole spiel, like you said. and then the, like, presentation that I made, all students were given the presentation. So it wasn't just seniors. It was, you know, all grade levels. So at the school I'm at, it's a 7th through 12th grade school. So all students would have access to that. And then their parents and guardians also had access. With that presentation, too, I know I keep talking about it, but I did put in there, too, you know, a topic that isn't really talked about enough when they're in high school, and that is graduate assistantships and financial aid for graduate school. That was never discussed to me when I was in high school, but to be honest, in high school, I didn't even think of getting my master's or anything like that, but it would be very beneficial because, like, what if students would change their mind on what career they want because they know that there's assistance for them to get their master's?
Right, and I think that's really important because I ended up learning before applying to grad school, don't pay to go to grad school.
Yeah.
And that was some of the best advice I was ever given.
Mm-hmm.
And other than my fees and things like that, everything else has been covered through my assistantship. But I would have had no idea if someone hadn't have told me, mm-hmm. and I shouldn't have to be in the application process to find that out.
Yeah, and I only knew because you did it.
Right.
So, like, it's something that, like, I really wish that they would talk about in high school, because I do truly wonder, would more, like, students want to go and get their bachelor's knowing that they can get their master's paid for? And be able to maybe do that career they really, really wanted to do.
Right. It makes them see that it's achievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on Thursday, we did a college tour day. So ideally, we would have had, you know, a list of schools for the students to be able to go out and visit if we had transportation. Unfortunately, with how, you know, time flies and scheduling and everything, we couldn't do in-person tours, but instead I made a very long list of schools that have virtual tours online. And this way, I shared that list with all of the teachers, and they gave that to their students. And students in their study halls on that day, you know, took virtual college tours, which is very beneficial, and I'm glad that became more popular after COVID.
Definitely. I know for us, when we were interested in Ball State, it was kind of a hassle to drive 3.5 hours just to visit the campus for a couple hours, mm-hmm. and that was it.
Yeah. I honestly think, too, like, looking at the virtual tour, I felt, like, more excited to go on the actual tour, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can go see that in person. Like, that looks so cool, or, I don't know, other yeah. things. But it's a really great opportunity, especially because our students are really struggling with, like, transportation and financial stability. And so, like, they can't just up and drive across the state or to another state to be able to go on these tours.
Absolutely. Do you think that list is something you could provide us with to put on the website?
Yes. I will have to dig through my documents, but I'm sure I can find it. Because it's really important. And honestly, when I was doing my research, every single school that I could think of off the top of my head had a virtual tour. So I want to say, like, almost all schools at this point in time probably have virtual tours. Like I said, especially after COVID, because, you know, no one could go in person to do tours, really. But yeah, I can definitely find that, and hopefully it can be an additional resource that is helpful for others. And then lastly, on Friday, we had, like, a winner's day, and that was because throughout the whole week of College Go Week, every time that a student submitted an application to a college, they came to the office and showed that they applied, and they were entered into a raffle. And at the end of the week, you know, did the raffle, and they got, like, a little basket and whatnot. So not only did it encourage them to, you know, do applications during that week, but it also, you got a little fun prize out of it. Thinking of it now as I'm saying it, but during College Go Week, a lot of universities waive their application fees. I don't know why I forgot to say that. That's very important. But, you know, usually they're not too much. They're like $50, $60. But when you're wanting to apply to 5 different schools, like, that adds up really quickly, especially if you're the one, like, the student's paying it out of their pocket. So that's one of the reasons why we had, you know, that college application day, and why we were like, hey, if you apply, like, you can win something as well. And then another part of, like, the winner's day is we had a locker decoration contest. And with this contest, students were encouraged to decorate the outside of their locker for the university or college that they would like to go to. And then that was also open to students that maybe didn't know what they wanted to go into, or were going to go to, like, a trade or, like, straight into a job. They could decorate the locker for what they were going to be doing for that as well. So it was a nice way for students to kind of look at what other options they are. And then lastly, there's a lot going on that week, but we also gave all of the teachers posters that said, why apply? And these posters come from the ASCA website for College Go Week. And I gave them all to the teachers because I wanted them to, you know, write down their why. Like, why should students apply for college? Why is it beneficial? But I also wanted it to engage conversations with the students, with the teachers, and be like, oh, you went to Anderson University? I'm kind of thinking about that one. Can you tell me a little bit about it? Or, hey, I noticed you went to Harvard, for example. and I really am interested in Harvard. Can you tell me about it some more? But I was really hoping that I was going to be, you know, a conversation starter with everybody.
Absolutely. And I remember our high school did that during our college week. I don't know if it was called the same thing, but you could go into your teachers' classrooms and they'd have a little paper or like a poster, if you want to call it that, on their wall that said what college they went to and what they studied. And that's how I found out that one of my teachers went to University of Michigan, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So it's just like little things like that where it's like, oh, my teachers did this. Maybe I should look into that. That's how I ended up in grad school anyways.
Yeah. And like that's how I found Ball State as a whole was because I had a conversation with someone and they happened to be like, "Yeah, I went to Ball State. You should look there." And I looked there and here I am 6 years later, still
Me
there.
too. Hey, also, was there anything else about what you guys did for College Girl Week?
I think that's it. I know that was like a lot of information, but there's a lot of planning that goes into College Go Week on the school counselor side of things, but also through like ASCA. I don't even want to think about how much planning and organization they have to do.
Sure, that's fine. You gave us plenty of really good information about it. So, getting back into the community college parts of things, how present would you say community colleges were in College Go Week?
So, it's a hard answer, or a hard question, I should say, because a lot of our students are dual enrollment students. So, a lot of them are already in community college, because they go to Ivy Tech. And I want to say, like, probably roughly a fourth of our students are dual enrolled students. But when I was having the one-on-one senior meetings and kind of making sure they're, ready to graduate, whatnot, but also being like, "Hey, like, what's your plans after high school?" A lot of them are planning to go to community college. So I was doing my very best to include community college during College Go Week by, discussing like, "Hey, this is also an option." And on my financial aid slideshow, like I had community college as an option, be like, "Hey, like there's these options here. Like you can save money with community college. There's different resources, there's different benefits." But unfortunately, like as I said a little bit earlier, College Go Week is really geared towards, your university. Which I think is hard because a lot of my students also were going into trades. And I was like, "Okay, it says College Go Week, not College Trade Career Week." But I really want it to be all of them,
Right. Yeah, I definitely hear that. I think this is a good point to transition into our reacts to stats for this episode. And it kind of goes with everything we kind of just said. But our first statistic, did you know that in the 2022-2023 academic year, nearly 1.8 million high school students were dual enrolled in public community colleges?
I am actually very surprised because I mean we talk about this every episode, but I feel like community college isn't talked about a lot. So to know like that number is so high is amazing, honestly. But even looking at my students, like I just said, like I feel like a quarter of our seniors, which mind you, is a lot of them because there's only 70 students per graduating class, but to know that they're part of that number is great. Like, I think it's amazing. And
Absolutely.
it's not talked about enough.
Out of that 1.8 million students in that same academic year, how many students do you think were dual enrolled in the state of Indiana? I know it's kind of a hard question, but just
Oh my
estimate.
gosh. out of 1.8 million. Ooh. 200,000? I don't know. Like, that's a hard question.
So you did estimate a little high there, but approximately 95,017 students in the state of Indiana were dual enrolled in a public community college in the 2022-2023 school year.
That's still a lot.
Definitely.
I definitely went a little high. But again, I'm like, I don't know how many students there are in Indiana. But yeah, that is a lot. And to be honest, I feel like that number is pretty high because I was actually looking at the Indiana map and was looking at, you know, where's all of our universities located and then where's all our community colleges located. And I want to say there was like 22 like college / universities in Indiana, which I'm like, wow, that's a lot. Where are all of them? But most of them are community colleges because Ivy Tech is spread out
everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, like, you turn down a corner and there's another Ivy Tech campus. Like, even in, like, a 30-minute drive from around Ball State, there's probably, like, 3 Ivy Tech campuses. So I'm not surprised that Indiana is up there with how many Ivy Techs we have, because it is a really good program as well.
Right, and so another thing that I found out is that Indiana has one of the highest percentages of students dual-enrolled, just falling into second place with 51.7% of high school students dual-enrolled. Over 50% of high school students in Indiana are dual-enrolled.
Wow.
And that's only just behind Idaho in first place with 55.4%.
That's crazy.
That seems like such a high number.
Yeah, that's insane. Because I know when I was in high school, you know, forever ago, I feel like no one was dual enrolled. Which I don't know if that's just because, like, no one ever talked to me specifically about it. Or if, like, there was just no one talking about it in general.
And when I was doing this research, I was interested in seeing how Michigan compared, since that's where we went to high school. And this may not be surprising, but only 14.8% of Michigan high schoolers are dual enrolled.
I have words for you, Michigan. That's insane!
It seems accurate, though.
It does.
Based on our experience, but that's still... That's such a staggering difference. And I think it's because of Ivy Tech.
I'm not gonna lie. Indiana is pretty behind in their, you know, education department here, which is unfortunate. And Michigan is a little bit more progressive in that area. So it does really surprise me that Michigan falls so much behind Indiana. Like, that baffles me.
Right, and I was very surprised when I saw it, just because it's just such a difference, really.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, like, good on you, Indiana. Like, you're clearly doing something right.
I think part of it is just because Ivy Tech is literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get your credits to transfer from Ivy Tech to any university in Indiana.
That's true. I wonder, too, because, not to go on a tangent, but the diplomas are also different. And I don't know if that's just because it's changed since we graduated in 2019, or if Michigan and Indiana's diplomas are just so different, but, like, I feel like their diplomas, like, yes, everything is in the midst of changing at the moment, but I feel like it's building them up for success with having pathways and having these dual enrollment opportunities. Like, a lot of students are getting their, you know, all of their classes done early, so they have a lot of free time in their senior year, and that's where a lot of them do the dual enrollment. So, wow.
So now knowing these specific numbers, do you think that your College Go Week incorporates community colleges enough? I definitely see what you're saying about how, because so many of them are dual enrolled, it's kind of almost like repetitive having all of that in there. But
yeah,
with over 50% of Indiana high school students being dual enrolled, do you think that community colleges should be more represented in College Go Week, or do you think that it's fine as it is?
I definitely think it needs to be talked about more in College Go Week, Because, I mean, clearly Indiana is doing something right, whether that's in College Go Week or outside of it. But if other, you know, states did the same, where they incorporated more community college in their College Go Week, I wonder if their numbers would go up. And I know, like, a lot of our students are already dual enrolled, but, like, are we going ahead of time with our younger students, talking to them about dual enrollment early and being like, hey, this is an opportunity for your future? And does that, would that help? Because College Go Week isn't just for seniors. It's for all grade levels, because it's always important to learn. It also gives students, you know, motivation, something to look forward to, have those SMART goals and those long-term, you know, achievements.
Since College Go Week is for all grade levels,
mm-hmm.
obviously more towards high schoolers, I think that it might be beneficial to include community colleges more to get more information about that dual enrollment and what they can achieve at a community college by taking those dual enrollment credits.
Yeah.
Because it can be more than just taking a class.
Yeah.
It could be graduating high school with your associates or getting a certificate, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, I think that'd be really good. And even with, like, colleges, universities, where they have, like, accelerated master's programs, like, talking about that, too, because, I mean, I would have loved to know that when I was in my undergrad, because I would have already been done, you know? Like, I would have already had my bachelor's and master's before I was 23.
Right.
Which is crazy.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's its own thing. But mm-hmm. thank you, Maya, for stopping by again and providing your insight.
Yeah.
Next episode, we'll get to hear one student's story. I interviewed Jacob, a transfer student at Wayne State University, about his experience in community college and the transfer process. And then we'll have Maya back for our fifth and final episode, Community College and Our Futures.
Woo.
Until then, thanks for listening and tune back in soon.